way. Well, we come back together here in this place, and this is a gift of the Lord, a grace of God. It's certainly a duty for believers to gather, and for that we're so, so grateful that we can come together here in our building here to honor the Lord and to serve Him and to look into His Word. And so as we do that, we're going to continue our study through Ephesians chapter 5. So if you would, take your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We are in the middle of this kind of practical household code dealing with marriage, husbands and wives. And may the Lord give us much wisdom and much grace as we look into the Word together. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 22 through 24, and then we will look into the Word of God together. Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Shortly after my beautiful bride and I were married, my wife was given a book titled Marriage to a Difficult Man. I read the title and I thought to myself, now this person, very sincere and loving though they certainly may be, knows me all too well, trying to serve and help my bride Elizabeth in our journey of marriage together. I just want you to know, the man who gave that book to my wife was my father, Marriage to a Difficult Man. Actually, that book was written, believe it or not, about the marriage of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. He was, and the book goes on to talk a number of ways about how Edwards was a bit moody, and he was a socially awkward guy. He was very shy, and you can think, Jonathan Edwards, if he was a difficult man to live with, what am I? You know, what are we? But in the cases of living with a difficult man, Sarah maintained a steadfast trust in her Savior. She loved her God. She loved the husband that this God of hers gave to her. And God gave her, Sarah, the strength to carry on every single day to perform the function and the duty to submit to her husband that God had called her to. Maybe, ladies, maybe you're here in this room, or maybe somebody who's watching and they think, you know, can you relate to this? Sometimes you feel, I'm married to a difficult man. Married to a difficult man. I have encouragement for you tonight. God has divine wisdom for you tonight. Let the Bible be your map to guide you all the way to heaven's shore. Let the Bible be, well, more than your iPhone, that you would tap into the Word of God and get updates on life's issues and God's solutions every day. Every single day. I love the way David put it in Psalm 19 and verse 8. Remember this, the precepts of the Lord are right. I love this. Rejoicing the heart. That's what the Word of God does. We come to Ephesians 5 on the primary role of every wife in the Christian home. And that primary role is submission to her own husband. And just a reminder, last week I mentioned it, but I'll bring it up again. Submission must be taught to the younger women, according to Titus chapter 2. It doesn't come naturally. We got to teach it. Submission is commanded of the Lord to all wives, Colossians 3:18. Submission is an act of worship to her Lord, Ephesians 5:22. Submit to the husband as she would to the Lord. Submission is God's beautiful design modeled fully and perfectly by the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 11. Submission must occur even to an unbelieving husband, 1 Peter 3. Submission should glisten. It should sparkle with the internal heart beauty, not just outward obedience, but internal heart beauty. And again, I'll say it again throughout the night, but submission is not weakness. Submission is God glorifying strength and dignity, Proverbs 31. So, Ephesians 5, let me just remind you of this. We are in the middle of the practical section of Ephesians. You cannot live this out on your own. Remember, Ephesians 1-3 gives you the strength, it gives you the ability, it gives you the power to obey and live out what God calls you to. Because in Ephesians chapters 1-3, it's God's work in you. And now in Ephesians 4-6, it's your walk in Him. You are to be filled with the Spirit. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So, Christian wife, all that God calls you to do, as countercultural as it might seem, as foolish as it might appear at certain points, this is the wise way of biblical womanhood. This is the understanding, the thoughtful way, as you show yourself to be controlled by the Spirit and living out the role that God has called you to do. Now, why? Why does Paul bring out in Ephesians 5 the role of the wife and the role of the husband and then the children and parents and so on? Why all of that? Because Paul wants to show how Spirit-filled believers live every realm of life for the glory of God. Look, you and I see and we are aware of and we hear far too much about people who it's easy to say, I believe in Jesus, but their personal life and their home life contradicts what they profess with their lips. But a true Christian shows the fact that their Christianity really does impact their marriage. It impacts their heart. It impacts their relationships in the privacy of their own home. In other words, true Christianity affects every sphere of life, everything that you do. Take your Bible, just real quick, turn back with me, keep your finger here, but go back to Proverbs 12, and I want you to see this. Even boys and girls, in your Bible, you can do this as well. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. I love the beginning part of this verse. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Do you see that? An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. What an honorable role. What a high calling, what a noble position. A Christian wife is the glistening crown. She is the respectful helper. She is the satisfying lover. She is the intimate companion, the selfless completer. She is His greatest encourager, His loyal follower, His warm homekeeper, and His trustworthy confidant. Do you see again in Proverbs 12, verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She's not the sandal on his foot. She's not the blister between his toes. She's not the pain in his back. She's not even the ring on his finger. She's the crown. She's the crown upon his head. What a noble, what an honorable calling to fulfill the role of submitting to your own husband. Tonight, what I want to do for you Christian wives is I want to bring you to the Word. I want to shepherd you to the great shepherd in the Word in Ephesians chapter 5. May the Lord rain His blessing upon our hearts tonight as we hear the Word of God. Christian wife, let me piggyback on what I said last week. Number one, Christian wife, God calls you to be wholeheartedly submissive. And that's the point that we were just working through last week, and I'll continue with it tonight. God calls you, Christian wife, to be wholeheartedly submissive. And then next week, we will conclude our study on the biblical wife by looking at her role to be selflessly reverent, to respect and to honor her husband. But tonight, what I want to do is I want to really finish the first heading from Ephesians 5, the Christian wife, you are to be wholeheartedly submissive. That's the main point tonight. And it's right here in chapter 5, 22 in Ephesians. You see it in your Bible. Everybody can see it. Be subject to your own husbands. Boys and girls, this is a sermon for you tonight because, as I was telling my son, this is the kind of woman that you want to marry one day. Young girls in the room tonight, young girls, I want you to listen, because what I'm going to say tonight and what God is going to reveal is the kind of woman that you want to be one day when you get married. Men, we need to listen to this because we want to encourage our wives and pray for them in a very specific and knowledgeable way. Maybe there are those of you who are single in the church. Maybe you were married, or you have never been married, or don't plan to be married again. This is a sermon for you so that you can better know how to encourage and how to hold your church family accountable. So the big main point tonight, ladies, is to be wholeheartedly submissive. I'm reminded of even the rain as it falls here, and I hear this. We live in a culture where there is just rain from all around us. Like, you just drenched in this culture of feminism. This culture that would say, Jeff, you are an absolute fool for preaching this. And women, if you believe this, you are an absolute fool. This is bondage. This is slavery. This is stupid, the world will say. But I want you to hear something, ladies and men and boys and girls. This is the only sure way for a happy marriage in the role of a Christian wife. This is God's design. One of the wonderful things about biblical submission is in marriage, it's the way that God sharpens women to be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is not bad. This is not harmful. This is not shameful. It's incredibly beautiful and incredibly wise. And ultimately, church family, you know that we see submission perfectly in Jesus. We see it in Jesus. In John 6, Jesus said, I have not come down from heaven to do my own will, but the will of my Father. That's the heart of submission, where a Christian wife could say, I really want to do this, but I'm not to do my own will, but the will of my husband. John 14, 31, Jesus said, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. Jesus modeled the template, the example of submission. He was perfectly submissive. What an honorable and a high calling that, ladies, you get to walk in your Savior's footsteps. You get to walk in a way that your Savior walked, in being submissive. Again, by way of introduction, submission is about role. It's about function. We are, in this church, complementarian. That is to say, God designed men and women equal in worth and dignity, but we are different in role and in function. That is to say, God created woman to complete man, to be the helper for the man. We are complementarians. The unbiblical way of seeing things would be egalitarianism. That is wrong. That is unbiblical. We are complementarians, where the woman was designed to complete the man. Everything we're talking about tonight, just to again set it before you, this is not culturally bound. This is biblical. This is not bad. This is good. This is not God reacting to some bad thing. This is a glorious design of the wise God for a husband and a wife to fit together and to function together in a holy and a happy marriage. So, Christian wife, God calls you to be wholeheartedly submissive. Wholeheartedly submissive. So, last week, just to review, number one, we talked about what? What does it mean to be submissive? To place yourself under the authority that God has put over you. To be under the authority. That's what submission is. Number two, last week, we looked, to whom are you to submit? Ladies, to whom are you to submit? And the answer in Ephesians 5, verse 22, is to your own husbands. And then last week, third, we looked at how. How do you submit? And the end of verse 22 is, as to the Lord. As to the Lord. As an act of worship, as you would to the Lord, to please your God. And then fourth, last week we looked at why. Why, Christian wife, should you submit to your husband? And the answer is found in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. He's the leader. He's the authority of the home. Just as Christ is the head of the church. He himself being the Savior of the body. By the way, I didn't build on it last week. But do you see in your Bible the end of verse 23 there? Every time Paul brings up Christ, it's like Paul just can't get far without bringing out the gospel. He's talking about marriage, and then Paul all of a sudden says, Jesus is the Savior of his body. The husband is not the Savior of his wife. There's not a direct parallel here. But Paul is just showing the centrality of Jesus Christ for a biblical marriage. That Jesus gave himself for his wife. That he loves his bride, the church. In other words, wives, remember the gospel. Remember the gospel. That Jesus is the Savior of the body. No one was ever more submissive than Jesus. In Philippians 2, he was found in appearance as a man, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Look, you would think that Jesus, the God-man, could say, "I want to do what I want to do." But he didn't. He came as an obedient son to submit to his Father. Ladies, he's your champion. He's your forerunner. He's your model. Christian wife here in this room, look to your Redeemer. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the obedient one and emulate him. Maybe I could put it like this. Jesus submitted to God for you. So now your duty is to submit to your husband for him. The glorious role that God has given to you, Christian wife. Well, we're going to come to Ephesians 5 here in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk just for a moment about biblical submission from another text that I think needs to be brought out. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 teaches very clearly about the matter of biblical submission of the wife to her own husband. And actually, the context of 1 Peter 3 is a wife that is married to a disobedient husband, or probably an unbelieving, or most specifically, a rough. Maybe you could use the word abusive. I don't know if I would go quite that far, but that's the language of 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. Those who are bruisers. What is a wife to do in a difficult marriage? Well, the example is Jesus Christ. Why? 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. Jesus suffered and he left an example for believers. He was reviled, but he did not revile in return. Jesus suffered, but he uttered no threats. Jesus kept believing and entrusting himself to his Father. Look at chapter 3. In the same way, just as Jesus submitted to his Father, even when he was roughly treated by the hands of sinful men. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. So they are a disobedient husband, and Christian wives are called to submit even to an unbelieving husband, and they are to win them by their godly behavior, verse 1. Look at verse 2. As the husband observes your chaste and respectful behavior in reverential honor and purity. What wonderful terms Peter brings out here. Well, what do you mean, Peter? Look at verse 3. Peter's going to say, Christian wife, if you're in a difficult marriage, if there's a Christian woman married to an unbeliever, even if he's rough, even if he's ungodly, even if he doesn't appreciate her, verse 3, your adornment must not be merely external. not merely external. Don't let it only be outer. Look, outward beauty is important, and every husband appreciates this in the context of the marriage. But don't forget about the inner beauty. Well, what do you mean? Well, verse 3, not just the braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but verse 4, let your beauty be the hidden person of the heart. I tell my daughters all the time, what is beauty? They could tell you. It's the hidden person of the heart. That's what the Christian wife must exemplify in the marriage. The hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. Gentle meaning humble and self-controlled. A quiet spirit meaning she's peaceful. She's tranquil. She's non-offensive to him. Why? Now, I want you to see this. Look at the end of verse 4. A key phrase here. Why? Because Christian wife submits in this way. It is precious in the sight of God. Oh, I love it. Even if your husband ignores it. Even if he rejects it. Even if he hates it. Even if he despises your submission. God sees it as beautiful. God sees it as precious. In fact, the Greek word means excellent. Rare, costly, precious. The same Greek word is found in Mark 14 when the woman came and anointed Jesus with precious, costly perfume. Oh, this submission, Christian wife, that you have to your husband, it is, verse 4, precious in the sight of God. So look at the model here in verse 5. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God, they used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Look, this is not new. Submission wasn't invented this generation. It's God's design all along. It's God's marriage template, his pattern, his design. And the ultimate example that Peter is going to bring out here is that of Sarah. Sarah submitting to Abraham. Do you see it here in verse 6? Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You remember Genesis 12? You remember Genesis 20? On both occasions, Abraham, the godly patriarch, the believer in God, God gave him these glorious, unconditional, unbreakable covenants. And then he lies on two occasions. Bold-faced, brazen lie, saying to Abimelech and to Pharaoh that Sarah is not his wife, but she is his sister. Giving the impression to take Sarah into these respective harems. What did Sarah do? How did she respond to her husband's folly on such situations? She submitted. She trusted that her God would protect her. Do you see it right here in verse 6? She called him Lord. And you have become her children, Christian wives, as you submit. If you do what is right, submission is right. It is the good thing to do without being frightened by any fear. Do you want to know how to live the Christian wife in the context of biblical womanhood in marriage without being fearful? God says to us is to submit with a heartfelt submission to your husband. Why? Because you trust God. And you can trust in God's sovereign watch care over you. Proverbs 3:25, you will not be afraid of sudden fear. You can trust in God. And Peter is going to say, Christian wives, in the same way as your Savior, times can be difficult, times can be tough, and if you have a disobedient or an unbelieving husband, keep submitting. Keep submitting. 1 Peter 3 is a very, very helpful section to go to when you're encouraging and counseling other women, particularly those with a disobedient or an unbelieving husband. So, back to Ephesians 5. Go with me back to Ephesians 5. You see, this is not just a Pauline thing, but Peter brings it out as well in 1 Peter chapter 3. So, Christian wives, what does the submission look like? So, we've looked a number of ways already last week at what submission is, to whom should you submit, how should you submit, why should you submit, and now number 5, like what? What's the example? What is it like for me to submit to my husband? Can you give me an example, Jeff? Paul, can you give me sort of a model, sort of a template, sort of an illustration for what my submission to my husband ought to look like? And I'm glad you asked, because look at Ephesians 5:24. As the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Do you see that? How the church submits to Christ is a template for how wives are to submit to their husbands. So walk with me then, church family, just as we kind of think through this. How do you submit to Jesus? How does the church submit to Jesus? Now I'm going to fly, but I want to give you 9 words as to how the church submits to Jesus. Number 1, knowledgeably. Knowledgeably. We must know what Jesus wants. We have to know him. We have to spend time with him. We have to spend time in his word to know what he wants. Number 2, we submit happily to Jesus. Happily. We get delight in obeying our Savior. He loved us. He purchased us. He bought us. We are owned and possessed by him. We submit to Jesus happily. It doesn't mean it's always perfectly pleasant, but with a joyful heart, we do. Third, we submit to our Lord heartfully. Heartfully. That is to say, we submit and obey internally from within. God doesn't just want your mere external obedience with your heart being far from God. He wants your worship in an internal, heartfelt way. We submit to Jesus, number 4, worshipfully. Worshipfully is an act of expression of worship to God. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, you do all to the glory of God. Even in the little things, you do it as an act of worship to God. So it is with you Christian wives. Even in the little things, you can do it worshipfully as an act of worship to God. How do we submit to our Lord? Number 5, obediently. Obediently. We submit by obeying and doing what he calls us to do. Look, sometimes it's hard and it's difficult and it's counterintuitive. But we still submit obediently because we trust the good wisdom of our God. And so it ought to be with the Christian wife as well. Number 6, we submit to Jesus evangelistically. Evangelistically, why? To be a light to the watching world. As they see us living for Christ, we are a witness to the watching world. And so it is, even in the context of marriage, you can be a witness to the lost as to how you submit to your husband. Number 7, dutifully. Dutifully. Why do we follow Christ? Why do we obey Christ? Why do we submit to Christ? Because it's God's design. It's God's design for us. It's the right thing to do. And so it also ought to be in marriage. That's God's design in marriage. Number 8, Christian wives, and church family, how do we submit to Jesus? Number 8, prayerfully. We do it prayerfully. Oh God, help me. Give me the strength to follow you today. Help me, oh God, to follow you. Help me to be obedient. We pray to God asking for his help. And so it can be for every Christian wife as she submits to her husband. Just as we, the church, pray and ask for God's help as we obey Christ, so the Christian wife can pray and say, God, help me to fulfill the role in the marriage. Number 9, how does the church submit to Christ? Number 9, trustingly. Trustingly. We submit to Jesus because we trust that he is our leader. And he's good. And he's faithful. And he's wise. And our God is sovereign. And in the same way, Christian wife, you can submit to your husband trustingly, knowing that God is sovereign and good. What a simple way in verse 24 that Paul lays out for you, Christian wife, the example of submission. What is your submission to look like? It is to look like the church that submits to Christ. I think of David in Psalm 40 in verse 8, when David said, "I delight to do your will, O God." Or Paul in Romans 6, verse 17, when he said, "As believers, we are now obedient from the heart to this form of teaching to which we have been given." Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments." Now, real quick, just a quick footnote here. The main point of the paragraph here is on the wife submitting and fulfilling her role to her husband, but just a word of application and a question to everyone here, even the young people. This is the design of God for the church, to obey her Lord, Jesus Christ. How many people are there who just simply make a verbal profession? It's easy to do that. But they do not submit to Jesus. They do not bow the knee to the sovereign lordship of Jesus. Jesus cannot be anyone's savior if he is not your Lord. Yes, we adhere to lordship salvation because you must confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. You must take up your cross and follow him. He is our sovereign. Submission, by the way, the Christian wife, is not something that God calls only you to do. The exact same Greek word submit is found in James 4 and verse 7 when God just says, "Submit therefore to God." Submit to God. We are all to submit to God. Our submission is to be marked by trust and joy and knowledge and prayerfulness and worshipful disposition. We are obedient from the heart to our Savior. Jesus is the perfect example of this. Jesus is the one who perfectly obeyed even to the point of death on a cross. So Christian wife, this is your example. This is what biblical submission looks like in the illustration, in the picture. You see it in your Bible here in verse 24. As the church is subject to Christ, just as the church obeys and follows and is submissive to Jesus Christ, so in a parallel way, the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Christian wife, I'm not sure if there's a more visible and obvious way that you can preach the gospel to a watching world than for you to fulfill this glorious role of happily submitting to your husband as many people are watching, including the children, including the grandchildren, including the people at church, including your neighbors, including coworkers, including strangers when you're out and about. Imagine the witness and the walking preaching of the gospel that this is. What a wonderful way, ladies, that you can preach the gospel through the submission of your husband, to your husband. Well, we have seen a number of ways that Christian wife, you are to be wholeheartedly submissive. Number one, what does it mean? Number two, to whom do you submit to your husband? Number three, how do you do it? As to the Lord. Number four, why do you do it? Because he's the head. Number five, we saw, like what? What is the example? The church submits to Christ. And really, just one more here. Number six, and this will be before we draw this to a very practical conclusion. But number six, how much? What's the extent of my submission? You say, "Pastor Jeff, you tell me that I need to submit to my husband," verse 22. That's what God says. "Because the husband is the head of the wife," verse 23. And then verse 24 is the church submits to Christ, so the wife ought to be to their husband. Jeff, I get it, but how much? What's the extent? extent of my submission. And Paul says at the end of verse 24, the wives ought to be submissive to their husbands in everything. In everything. Whether you like it or not. Whether you think it's wise or unwise. Whether you prefer it or you don't prefer it. God calls you to be submissive in everything. But wait. You can almost hear somebody sort of objecting, saying, I see that the Bible says I must submit to my husband, but... And then there's all kinds of excuses that could be given. My husband is lazy and he's inconsiderate. He spends hours at a time watching ESPN and playing video games. All he does is surf social media. My husband is irresponsible with the finances. I have a husband who just will not discipline the children. He won't spank them. I'm married to a man who doesn't lead our family well. Or my husband isn't a Christian. Maybe you've heard those vocalized before. But with all of those excuses, they are still not valid to provide an excuse for you to justify not submitting to your husband. God calls you, Christian wife, to the joyful privilege and duty and obligation to submit to your husband. It's like Elizabeth Elliot, who is writing on this, who bluntly reminded wives, God's word does not give us any footnotes. Wives, submit to your husband, see footnote 2, except if he spends 3 hours or more a day watching ESPN. It doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. There's no footnote. God calls you, Christian wife, to submit in a comprehensive way, in a complainingless way, in a way that is content, in a way that is committed, whether or not you think he deserves it, or whether or not you think that he merits it. Your submission, Christian wife, ought to be caring. It ought to be caring. It ought to be affectionate. That's why Carolyn Mahaney, writing on this, says the virtue of submission brilliantly, brilliantly displays the gospel. Elizabeth George says our submission to our own husbands, whether or not he's a Christian and whether or not he's obeying God, it preaches a lovelier and a more powerful sermon than our mouth ever could. What a wonderful, wonderful call that God has given to you, every Christian wife. Every Christian wife. Men, we do well to encourage our wives. We do well to pray for our wives, to specifically and verbally affirm them and how God is working in them. We do well to remind our young girls that this is the wonderful and the beautiful plan of God for biblical womanhood in the marriage. We do well to teach and to tell our young boys, this is the kind of woman that you want to look for, that Paul spells out in Ephesians 5. You want to look for this kind of woman. I was telling my son, if you could find the most beautiful woman in the world, but she didn't have this, you'd have a miserable marriage. So listen, what wonderful counsel God has given in his word. Very simple verses, very clear. In fact, at the very end of our section, in verse 33, I'm going to come to it next week. Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife. That's the husband's role. And then the end of verse 33, Paul's going to say, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Paul begins and he ends the marriage teaching with the wife's role. And right in the middle, Paul's going to deal with the husband's. And we will get to the husbands. And we will get to the duties of the husbands in a couple of weeks. But let me just sort of draw this to a very practical time in the sermon. How can you, Christian wife, submit to your husband? Even if you're not even married, listen to this and pray for this for others and hold others accountable and ask them how they're doing in some of these ways. Christian wives, some tips on submitting. Number one, ask him questions and humbly listen more when your husband speaks. James 1:19, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Another way that you can practice biblical submission is by not nagging your husband. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. A submissive wife seeks by God's grace to not nag her husband. Third, a way that you can submit to your husband is to be quick to respond to a request of your husband. And make an effort to remember your husband's past requests and desires and seek to fulfill them whenever possible. Another way that you can submit to your husband in a very practical way, Christian wives, is to speak well of your husband publicly. Speak well of him publicly, especially in front of the children and grandchildren. Look for that occasional opportunity to draw attention to your husband's qualities and his positive characteristics when you're with other people. You've been there when people speak bad about their spouse. May it be that you would speak well and affirm your husband. And make an effort next to gain appreciation for your husband's occupation, his job. Try to understand more and more how important his job activities are and what he has each day and how you can pray with him and pray for him and pray specifically throughout the week with him and for him and then follow up on those things. A Christian wife, another way that you can submit to your husband is to honor him with modest beauty and attractiveness that wins his eye in a unique and in a very particular way. And if you don't know, ask him, because he'll be honest and give you answers. Another way, Christian wife, that you can submit to your husband is to seek to keep the children in line in the home, especially when he comes home from work. Another way, Christian wife, that you can practically demonstrate submission is to keep things confidential when your husband shares his heart with you. To be his confidant. Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. And so you want to strive to keep things confidential when he shares his heart with you. Another way, Christian wife, that you can submit to your husband is to spend money wisely and to stay within the budget. To stay within the budget, to communicate clearly about financial matters and spending. Another way, Christian wife, that you can submit to your husband in a very practical way is to admire and show love to your husband, yes, in verbal ways and in non-verbal ways. To be creative and to be thoughtful and to be prayerful is to ways in which you can show and demonstrate affection and love toward your husband. Maybe it's helpful to think through practical ways to submit, but looking at the negative. What does unsubmissiveness look like? What does unsubmissiveness look like? Well, a woman might show unsubmissiveness when she does things that are annoying and vexing to her husband to provoke him. When she doesn't discipline her children as she ought. Proverbs 29:15 talks about how those who love their children will discipline them. Another way that she can show an unsubmissive attitude is if she is more loyal to other people, including the children, than she is to her own husband. Her primary and her ultimate priority and relationship in life must be with her husband. Another way that a woman might show herself to be unsubmissive is if she argues or if she pouts or if she kind of gives the husband the cold shoulder when she doesn't get what she wants on something. Or when she doesn't stay within the budget. Or when she corrects and she interrupts and when she talks too much for her husband. When she's too outspoken when other people are around usurping the authority of her husband. A wife could be unsubmissive when she manipulates to get her own way. by deceit or tears or begging or nagging or complaining or anger or intimidation, or when she makes decisions without consulting him, or just when she directly defies his wishes. That models an unsubmissive heart. Another way I think that unsubmissiveness comes out is when the Christian wife worries about all the decisions that he makes. And she then tries to take matters into her own hands. And she is worrying and not trusting God in those moments. Another way that a wife might show herself to be unsubmissive is when she doesn't pay attention to what her husband says. Now, Christian wife, those are many practical ways that in thinking and reflecting and reading and pondering and meditating, biblical submission can manifest itself in the context of the home. What's the extent? How much are you to submit? Paul says, in everything, but Christian wife. You must not submit if your husband clearly calls you to sin against God. If your husband calls you to sin against God, you must not submit. You must obey God rather than men in those cases. If the husband says, I forbid you to go to church. If he says, I forbid you to talk to the children about God. I want you to participate with me in immorality or pornography. I forbid you to correct or reprove me. Don't tell anyone about my sin. I want you to lie for me. Cover this up. If you tell anyone, there will be consequences. Those are such occasions where a Christian wife must not submit, because that would clearly be sinning against God. Christian wife. But notice in verse 24, there's not an exception clause here. As the church submits to Christ, so the wife ought to be to their husbands in everything. This is the wife's role, regardless of whether or not you think he deserves it. Regardless of whether or not you think he's going to love you back. Regardless of whether or not you think he's going to change. This is God's plan for you, regardless of how your husband responds. You know, sometimes a Christian wife might say, if he would only do what he's supposed to do. Or if he weren't just so selfish. I can't be what God wants me to be because my husband is not doing his part. He needs change, not me. God doesn't want me to submit to a tyrant like him, does he? There's no point in me trying. He'll never change. I've already tried. Trust me, I know. These kinds of things. We hear those. Christian wife, remember the clear word of God. The clear word of God is the wonderful, joyful, blessed duty that God has given you in the function of the marriage, to submit to your husband. So, the husband's role is difficult. And the wife's role is difficult. So, Christian wife, in those moments when wholeheartedly submitting becomes tough, it becomes tough. And you begin to grumble on the inside. You begin to complain on the inside. Maybe bitterness begins to take root a little bit on the inside. Well, then what do? I have a couple of very, very practical, what I call motive-revealing questions. Yeah, he wants me to do this, but I don't like it. I don't think it's wise. I don't think it's good. I think it's going to have a bad outcome. And then you begin to grumble and you complain and bitterness takes root in your heart. What do you do at that point, Christian wife? Number one, ask yourself, why do I want what I want so bad? Why do I want it so bad? Why am I responding in such a way? Why do I want it so bad? Or another question, am I putting something above Christ in my heart? Yeah, I know God tells me to submit to him and I ought to be content and I ought to not complain. I understand all that. But am I putting something over Christ in that moment? Maybe another question is, am I being materialistic? Am I being greedy? Am I being greedy or materialistic in any way? Am I being motivated by the love of God or by fear? That's another good question. If you begin to sense grumbling and bitterness taking root in your heart, what are you motivated by in that moment? Are you walking in obedience to God's word? Is that issue really important in light of eternity? And on you could go. I've got many more here. If you want more, I'll email them to you. But for the sake of time, we'll keep going. I'd like you to take your Bible, just as we kind of draw this to a close, go to the book of Ruth with me, the book of Ruth. Now, it's a different context. Ruth chapter 1 is not specifically dealing with the context of wives submitting to husbands, but I want to talk about a heart. And I want to talk about a heart that exemplifies the attitude of wholehearted submission. What does it look like? What is another example in the Bible? Well, look with me in Ruth. So here we are at the end of the period of the judges, and here comes Ruth on the scene and Boaz, a glimmer of light in the midst of this black, dark period of the judges. Ruth 1. In verse 15, then Naomi said, behold, your sister-in-law Orpah has gone back to her people and to her gods. So then Naomi is going to say to Ruth, you should return after your sister-in-law. Now look carefully in your Bible. Do you see it in verse 16? Ruth 1:16. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. That's the heart of submission. For where you go, I will go. That's the heart of submission. Where you lodge, I will lodge. That's the heart of submission. Your people will be my people. That's the heart of submission. And your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. Look at verse 18. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her. What a great example of wholehearted submission. Determined to go with her. Ruth demonstrated that wholehearted submission to her mother-in-law Naomi here. What a wonderful heart. What a wonderful heart that we see as an example for every Christian wife. Be encouraged, Christian wives. A Christian wife's submission may not always be the easiest thing. It might not always be the happiest thing for you to do in your life. But Martha Peace said, I promise there will always be true joy for the Christian who is glorifying the Lord Jesus and walking in his ways. I know this will be difficult, but I know it's the right thing to do. It's the plan of God. It's the design of God. And what a gospel preaching opportunity this is, Christian wife, for you. This is a glorious role that you have in marriage to walk in the footsteps of your Savior who submitted to his Father, and you in a similar way can submit to your Savior and certainly to your husband in an earthly way. Christian wife, by the grace of God, and Christian wife with the Word of God, indeed Christian wife by the Spirit of God, and I don't want to forget this, Christian wife in the context of the local church of God, with earnest prayer and effort, Christian wife, you can do this. You can do this. You can submit to your husband. What a way to put the gospel on display. So really the last couple of weeks we've looked at just one main point. One main point for you Christian wife, and that is to be wholeheartedly submissive. When we come together next Sunday night, Lord willing, we're going to skip to Ephesians 5:33, and we will look at the second main point for you Christian wife, and that is to be selflessly reverent. To be selflessly reverent. I want to close by telling you a story. about a husband and a wife. They were missionaries to Japan. A woman named Letty and her husband Charles were missionaries in the early 1900s. And they were in Japan, and they had a goal to get copies of God's Word in every home, as many homes as they could, all across the land, all across the country of Japan. Later on in their missionary work, in their life together, Charles became very ill, and he was dying. And what Letty would often do is she would write poems. And then she would come to his bedside, and she would read these poems to her husband. One of the poems that she wrote was this. She said, "My goal is God Himself, not joy nor peace, nor even blessing, but Himself, my God. 'Tis His to lead me there, not mine, but His. At any cost, dear Lord, by any road." So faith bounds forward to its goal in God, and love can trust her Lord to lead her there. Upheld by my Lord, my soul is following hard, till God has fulfilled my deepest prayer. No matter if the way in life is sometimes dark, no matter though the cost be oftentimes great, He knows how I best shall reach the mark. The way that leads to God must always be straight. One thing I know, I cannot say to God no. One thing I do, I press toward my Lord. My God, my glory here from day to day, and in glory there, my God, will be my great reward. A Christian wife, that is the heart of a submissive wife. Why? Because the heart of a submissive wife, ultimately and preeminently, is fixated upon her Lord. And the goal of life being to live all for the glory of Jesus Christ. Christian wives, may the Lord help you to live out your Christian life and the role as God has called you to do it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word in Ephesians chapter 5. Lord God, for some wives that have been married for a few years, for other wives that have been married for 30 years or for 50 or 60 years, Lord Jesus, the call is the same. And the call is the same for them to joyfully and by the power of the Holy Spirit be wholeheartedly submissive to their own husbands. It is our prayer, O God, that you would train up our young girls, the next generation of young ladies, O God, to be women who are obedient to you because you have regenerated their souls and they want to follow you and have godly marriages. We pray, O God, for our men, our husbands, our young men, our boys, that we would be those who pray, those who emulate Christ, those who love our wives and affirm them well. Help us, O God. Help Christ Fellowship Bible Church for those that are married to exemplify biblical marriage, not just for our good, but for the glory of our great God and for the reputation of the gospel. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our great Savior. Amen. Well, we have heard the word of God. I'm going to ask Peter and Jarrett, would you two be able to come? And let's respond to the word of God, as we often say on